If you would take your Bibles and you would turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles this evening. The book of 1 Chronicles, I'll tell you, when Pastor this morning started preaching, I was a little nervous because he was preaching on David, and I thought, oh man, I don't know if I can go and preach on David after he just preached that message on David this morning. But I prayed about it this afternoon, and God said, go ahead and preach what I have for you to preach. So I'm excited about what God is doing here at this church in missions, the missions month, and it's just exciting to see a group of people that are committed to reaching not just their area but also the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're excited to be here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 21 this evening. If you would stand with me there in 1 Chronicles chapter number 21, we're going to read a few verses here from this passage, and then we'll ask God to help us this evening in the understanding and the preaching and teaching of His Word. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said unto Joab and to the rulers of the people, Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring me the number of them that I may know it." Let's go down to verse number 7. "And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore He smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now, I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and tell David, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Choose thee, either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemy overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are His mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of men. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, It is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David said unto the elders, and the elders of Israel who were clothed in sackcloth fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, Is it not that I commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. And the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time that we can spend in your word. God, I thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would help us this evening as we look to your word, Lord, for instruction, Lord, for correction, Lord, for everything that we need here tonight. God, I pray that you would help us, that we would be encouraged from your word. God, I pray that we would take these things that you've given us, Lord, and that we would draw strength from them. God, I pray that you would take me as your servant, empty me of any self, cleanse me of any sin, fill me with your spirit, hide me behind the cross this evening. Lord, that it might be all of you and none of me. God, I pray that you would touch the hearts of your people that have come to hear from you. God, there's nothing that I can say that can do any good here tonight. But Lord, if your Holy Spirit would speak to hearts, Lord, a lot of good can be done. So God, I ask that as I speak to ears this evening, Lord, that you would speak to hearts, and that you would do the work that only you can do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Now, imagine that you're watching the news. And as you're watching the news, you see that a disease, an unknown disease, has broken out in our country. And in the past 24 hours, 70,000 people have already died from this disease. There's no understanding of what's going on. There's no understanding of a cure for this disease. There's no understanding of what's going to happen in the next 24 hours. And as you're watching the news, as you're sitting there watching the news, you see three black limousines come up with the American flags flying on those limousines. And you see the president step out of the car. Now, before you go and get your gun, hold on for a second. You know, you see him step out of the car. And he comes up to your door. And he knocks on your door and he says to you, he says, you've seen what's going on in the news. You've seen everything that's going on in the nation. Listen, we found that on your property, there is a mineral that can be used to make a cure for this disease. And it's only available on your property. It's the only place that we can find it in our country. And we need your property in order to make the antidote for this disease. What would be the first thought that would go through your head? You know, if you're like any good American, the first thought that would go through your head is, cha-ching, yes, man, this is great. I bet they're going to pay good money for my property because I've got the cure. You know, what would be the first thought that would go through your head? Well, you know, in so many ways, that is exactly what we have going on in this passage here. The nation is in a mess. The leadership of the nation has done wrong. God had told David and the kings of Israel to never number the people because it showed that they were trusting in numbers and not trusting in God for protection. And he said, don't number the people because God will add and take away from the people as many as he needs in order to have victory over his enemies. But David wouldn't listen. David went and he numbered the people. And the Bible says that God was displeased with this thing. And because God was displeased, he sent Gad, his prophet, to David in order to give David some options. And David gets the three options. Gad says, would you rather have 3 years of famine, 3 months of being destroyed by your enemies, of your enemies having the victory over your armies, or 3 days in the hand of the Lord? And David looks and he says, let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for greater is mercies. I mean, 3 days in the hands of God would have to be better than 3 months or 3 years under other situations. And Gad looks at him and says, well, okay, if that's your choice. And when Gad goes away, think about this. Let's fall into the hands of the Lord, for greater is mercies. 70,000 people die. I can imagine that David is sitting and saying, oh my goodness, what have I done? And as those people die all around the country, God sends an angel to Jerusalem to destroy Jerusalem. And the angel is destroying the city. Imagine seeing an angel so large that it is destroying an entire city. And David looks up and he says, God, I've done wrong. God, forgive me. And the Bible says that God tells him to do something. He says, I want you to go to the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite because something special is going to happen there. And that's where we want to focus this evening, because at that threshing floor, something amazing happens. Something phenomenal happens. And look with me in verse number 19. The Bible says, and David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said unto Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the wood
and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for a meat offering. Look at these four words: I give it all. See, the nation was in a mess. There was chaos all around. People were dying all around. But you see this one man that has the presence of mind, the heart of God, in order to look at the situation and say, if there's something God needs, I'm willing to give it. He said, I give it all. I want to show you very quickly tonight four things. What creates a heart that could have this type of response? Because I believe that that's the response that all of us want to have. That if God needs something of mine, if God needs to use me, as Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. As Abraham said, Lord, here am I. As Moses said, Lord, if you need someone, I'll go. God wants that response from his people. The first thing that we see here in this passage that creates that type of a response is a pressing need. We see that the nation, the people were dying all around. The city was being destroyed. That the leadership of the nation had created a mess. And everything was going wrong. And there was a pressing need here. You know, I believe that in a church like this, there's pressing needs all the time. You know, it's not Wednesday night, but I would nearly guarantee that if I looked at your prayer list on Wednesday night, it is full of needs that people in this church, that friends, that family, sickness, disease, all types of issues, financial issues, it's full of pressing needs. When we look at our world and we see that in our world that 320,000 people will be born today, but today before midnight, 150,000 people will go off into eternity. We see that there are pressing needs in our world today. When we see that 60,000 people, 60,000 people before midnight tonight will have converted to Islam. We understand that there are pressing needs in our world today. Just as there were pressing needs in this day, there are needs that are all around us. But I believe that God wants people who will recognize those needs. Do you understand that just because there are needs around us all the time, that does not mean that we will necessarily recognize that God wants us to do something about them? You know, when you look in your Bible, you see very specific men that God used in order to do something about those needs. Think of Nehemiah. When we read about Nehemiah, we understand that the gates of Jerusalem had been torn down. The walls had been torn down. The gates had been burned with fire. But Nehemiah wasn't the first person to see that had happened. He was just the one that said, God, if you can use me to do something about it, I want to do something about it. You think of Haggai, when he goes, he's living in Jerusalem after when the temple has been destroyed, and he tells the people, God wants us to rebuild the temple. He wasn't the first person to notice that the temple had been destroyed, but he was the first one to say, God wants me to do something about it. See, there's pressing needs all around us in our world today, but God wants a people who will look and say, God, do you want me to do something about it? God, is there something that I can do? God, is there a way that I can step in? There, we see a pressing need, and it's amazing that pressing needs always lead to phenomenal opportunities. See, you may have heard the quote before that the light shines brightest when it gets dark, in the dark. The darker it is, the brighter the light shines. Why is that? Because if we're going to shine bright, it takes a dark world to shine bright. We have an opportunity, unlike any generation in history, to shine for Jesus Christ like never before. See, there's a phenomenal opportunity in front of us to stand up in this lost and dying world and say, I know that you think that government is the answer. I know that you think that Allah is the answer. I know that you think that Buddha is the answer. But let me tell you, the real answer is in Jesus Christ. We have a phenomenal opportunity in the day and age that we live. But see, along with that phenomenal opportunity, it brings a host of responses. See, if you look here in this passage, in verse number 18, the angel of the Lord commands Gad to go to David and says that he should go to the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. But if you look in verse number 20, you see where Ornan and his sons are. The Bible says, and Ornan, who was threshing wheat, turned back and saw the angel. Look at this. And his four sons with him hid themselves. Now let me ask you a question. If you were to look out the window today, and you saw an angel that was so large that it could destroy a city, what would your response be? Well, you would probably do like I would do, and you would run somewhere, and you would hide, because you've never seen anything like that before. Well, Ornan did the normal thing. Ornan says, hey, sons, let's get out of here. Why is that? Well, because we know that a threshing floor, if you think in biblical times, a wine press was always at the bottom of a hill. Why is that? Well, because when they would take the grapes and they would begin to step on the grapes and crush the grapes, they would want that to flow downhill into the bottom of a collection point. But it was just the opposite for threshing wheat. When you threshed wheat, what you would do is you would take that millstone and you would run it over the wheat, and the wheat would separate from the chaff. But you would go up on top of a hill and you would throw the wheat in the air with a pitchfork. That way the wind would come over that hill and it would take away the chaff, and the wheat would fall back to the ground. That's why it's so interesting in Judges that the Bible says that Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress. Why? Because the last place that you would want to thresh wheat is at the bottom of a hill, because there's no wind there. Well, we see that Ornan is up on the top of the hill overlooking Jerusalem threshing wheat, and we see that as he's threshing wheat, he looks up and he sees this humongous angel that's there, and it has a sword in his hand, and he's destroying the city of Jerusalem, and he runs and hides. You may look and say, well, rightfully so, he runs and hides, and that's what I would say. But listen, it's always amazing to me that in the face of tremendous disaster, not everybody runs and hides. Think about that with me. David, Goliath is standing up there, and he is cursing the God of Israel. He's head and shoulder. He is taller than the tallest people in the army. And he says, send out a challenger. Where was everybody in the army? Where was Saul at that time? They were hiding. But David, this young guy, he looks and he says, hey, who is this guy? See, when they were hiding, David steps up and says, we can't let him talk about our God like that. Think about Moses. All of the other people are there, and they're being beaten, and they're slaves to Pharaoh. And Moses says, wait a minute, what's going on here? God says, let my people go. It's amazing that everybody doesn't run and hide. You know, most amazingly, if you remember 9/11, I bet everybody in here can remember exactly where they were on September 11th of 2001. The most amazing picture that I saw was not the picture of the planes flying into the building. The most amazing picture that I ever saw from 9/11 was that as those towers were on fire, there are people that are streaming out of those buildings by the hundreds and thousands, but there is one group of people that are not running away from the building, they're running into the building, and that's the first responders. See, not everybody runs away. Those first responders were running into the building to take people out of the building and get them to safety. Not everybody runs away. And God wants people who will look at the situation and not run and hide, but they'll turn around and say, if that's where God needs me, I'll run to that situation and not away from it. Listen, the situation that our nation is in is terrible. But God doesn't want people that will run and hide from it. He wants people that will look and say, hey, if God can use me, there's an opportunity here to do something amazing for Him. See, pressing needs always lead to phenomenal opportunities. Ezekiel 22, verse number 20, God was looking for a man to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge so that he wouldn't destroy the people of the land. See, in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse number 21, the Bible says that God is looking for vessels that he can use that are fit for his use. See, it was the same in the Old Testament as it is today. God is always looking for people that he can use. Why? Because the more needs that are there, God looks and he says, those needs are opportunities for me to use people to do something amazing for me. We see the pressing need. We see the phenomenal opportunity. But look with me in verse number 22. Then David said unto Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee,
And let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for a meat offering. I give it all. We see the pressing need. We see the phenomenal opportunity. But we see the perfect response. Ornan looks and he says, David, you're asking me for this threshing floor. You're asking me for this place. But if I have something that God can use, I want him to have all of it. He says, David, the threshing floor isn't good enough. He said, take the oxen for a burnt offering. Take the instruments for the wood. He says, David, if there's anything here that God can use, he can have it. I believe that that's the response that God wants from his people. Whether it's going around the world to a different country or going across the street to our neighbors, if God looks and he says, there's something that I have that he can use, he can have it. You know what he didn't do? He didn't do what most of us would do. President comes to the door and says, I need your house. We need your property. There's minerals on this property that can save the country. When do you need it? We need it right now. Do you have a moving truck here? If you're going to take my house, I need to get some stuff out. I need my pictures. I need my sofa. That's my new plasma TV that I just bought. You don't need all of that, do you? No, wait a minute. If you're going to take everything, he says, no, you just need to go. Well, are you going to pay me back for all my stuff? How am I going to get my stuff? What am I going to do? See, we would look around and we would say, now, if you want the house, what can I keep? And I believe that we do the same thing to God. Listen, I don't know you. I know I do that with God. Well, God, how much do you want? Wait a minute, Lord. I'll come down and I'll kneel at the altar and I'll give you something. God, I'll give you more than I did last year. God, I'll do a little bit more, but God, how much do you want? Ornan does not look and say, David, how much can I get away with? He looks and says, if I have something that God can use, I give it all to God. How much are you willing to give so that your neighbor comes to Christ? How much are you willing to give so that your coworker or your brother or your sister or your husband or your child or your mother or your father or your cousin? How much are you willing to give? Ornan looks and he says, if God has something, if God needs something that I have, I give it all. David, you're asking for the place, but let me tell you, God can have everything. Why do you think that is? Because I believe that when Ornan looked and he saw Jerusalem on fire, when he saw the city being destroyed, when he saw the people laying dead in the street, he looked at what he had and he said, what difference does any of that make? He looked and he said, how can I hold on to that if people are dying all around me? What good does it do me? See, it wasn't until he looked and saw what was going on. Imagine if Ornan never looked up from plowing. Imagine if Ornan was, or from threshing wheat. Imagine if he was just going about his business. He never looked up. He never saw what was going on in Jerusalem. He never knew what was going on in the nation. And David shows up and says, hey, I want to buy this place from you. He probably would have looked and said, like a lot of us would have, well, how much are you going to pay for it? This is a nice place that I have here. Let me tell you, I own a threshing floor. We know that Ornan had to have been wealthy for him to own a threshing floor himself. Normally, that was community property. But Ornan, the Bible says, he owned it. He never looks up from threshing wheat. What's going on, David? What are you doing here? Yeah, if you need something, I'm sure we can work out a good deal. I bet David would have looked at him and said, look up, man. Look at what's going on around you. Do you not see the people dying? Do you not see what's happening? And Ornan says, what's going on? What are you talking about?
See, it wasn't until Ornan saw what was going on around him that he could have the perfect response of, oh my goodness, what? Do you see what's going on? Isn't that what happened with Nehemiah? He goes to Jerusalem, and all of the people are just living in a city that's walls are broken down, gates burned with fire. And he looks at them and says, you see the distress that we're in, right? Look around you. You see what's going on, right? He says, let's rise up and do something about it. We see the perfect response from Ornan. But then lastly, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 3. We see the perfect response. We see a pressing need, a phenomenal opportunity, a perfect response. But look at this here. You may have never seen this before or may have never noticed this before. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter number 3, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. In Mount Moriah, it's where Abraham went to sacrifice his son, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, look at this, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. There's a pressing need. City is on fire. People are dying. There's a phenomenal opportunity to be used by God. There's the perfect response. I give it all. But lastly, we see a permanent legacy. The Bible says that David did get that threshing floor, and David said, I will not sacrifice to the Lord that which costs me nothing. And he did pay him for the threshing floor, even though Ornan didn't want any money, because he was willing to give it for the needs of his country. We see that David pays him for it, and he buys that threshing floor, and he sacrifices those offerings. And the Bible says that the plague is stayed from the people. And you may think that's the last we ever hear of Ornan the Jebusite, but it's not. See, that mountain wasn't just a place, or the top of that hill wasn't just a place that happened to be owned by some guy. That place just happened to be the place that God said, I will establish my name forever in that location. It just happened to be the place that one day Jesus Christ himself will come and he will sit on the throne of David. It just so happens that that place is still the most important place in history, because that threshing floor was the place that God would build the temple that will be rebuilt, that will be there throughout eternity, where God says, I will dwell among my people. And do you know that Ornan is the only guy in history that gets to walk in the millennial reign and throughout eternity, and everybody else is saying, look at the temple. Look at where God dwells with man. Look at this place. Isn't it amazing? And Ornan says, you know, I used to own that, right? Man, I tell you what, this is an amazing story. That was my place. I own that place. Let me tell you about the day that David came and he wanted that place. Listen, you never know what God is going to make of what you have until he gets it and does something amazing with it. Ornan looks, will be able to look throughout all of history and say, that was mine. When I had it, it wasn't much. But when God got a hold of it, man, did he do something great with it. He gets a permanent legacy as the man that owned the Temple Mount. Even in our day, one of the most hotly disputed places on earth. And Ornan says, I own that. And I gave that to God. And look at what God did with it. Listen, I don't know what you have that God can use. Maybe God is calling you to go to a mission field, but maybe he's not. Here's one thing that I know for sure.
that God is calling each one of us to something. Every single one of us, God is saying, there's a little more. There's a little more. I don't know what it is for you. But listen, I do know that God wants us to have the perfect response. God, what is it that you want? Oh, God, you can have that. You can have that. You can have that. You can have that. God, whatever it is that you need, you can have. God, you want me to give to Faith Promise? Well, God, you can not only have my money, you can have my house, you can have my car, you can have my children. As Pastor said this morning, hey, God, this is your house. This is your house payment. This is your car payment. Lord, I give it all. God, what is it? Lord, if there's anything that you need, you can have it all. God, I'm not going to look and say, how much can I be paid for it, God? Because I know that what you can do with it is so much more than what I could ever do with it. God, if I still had it, it would still be a threshing floor. But God, you took it, and now it's the temple of God. Why? Because of the perfect response. God, if I have it and you need it, you can have not only that, but whatever else it is. God, I give it all. Would to God that we would respond in the way that Ornan did. But it'll never happen until we look and see the pressing need and realize that that need gives a phenomenal opportunity to do something great for God. And when we do, God says, look at what I do in return. I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time that we can spend in your word.